G'day, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Shark Bites on the Scouting Australia podcast. For those of you who are new or might be new to the podcast and you haven't heard about Shark Bites, Shark Bites is a summarized breakdown of all the key points and takeaways from this week's full-length episode with Big Jimmy Ibrahim on manufactured cash flow deals. Let's get straight into it. Bite number one, cash flow deals in a nutshell, guys, are the deals you want to be holding at the back end of your portfolio. Manufactured cash flow deals are layering multiple strategies on top of one another to achieve higher than average returns. You want to be holding some average, you know, 3, 4, 5% yielding deal at the back end. You want to be holding something with a high net yield like a manufactured cash flow deal because you're going to get more return from each individual property. Bite number two, manufactured cash flow deals are all about layering strategies on top of each other to achieve that maximum efficiency from a singular deal. If you put it into comparison, let's say, you know, five properties at say a 4 or 5% yield might only be getting you 15 grand per deal. Five of those is only going to get you $75,000 worth of net cash flow at the back end if they were debt-free. You had three cash flow deals that were maybe at a 7 or 8% that were providing 25 grand per deal. You only need three deals to get the same amount of cash flow as the five. So essentially maximum efficiency per deal. Bite number three, duplexes. For cash flow, I have a preference for existing duplexes. You can always buy in at a discount, often renovate to further add value and yield, and position it within the correct market, you know, cycle to see excellent capital gains as well. So they can be a really, really good strategy, especially for entry level cash flow players. Existing duplexes can be a really, really good strategy as well. So with duplexes, guys, generally think new or building new for equity plays. If you're in the right market, you can find the margin. And for existing, so duplexes, new for equity plays, existing for those maximized rental returns and good capital growth potential if you get into the right market. Be a really, really good entry-level deal. The one caveat on it at the moment, guys, is they are extremely rare properties to find that still stack up in all the right regards in the right areas, but they're still out there. Bite number three, unit blocks. Be wary of an okay yield, you know, something that's maybe an okay yield, maybe 7 or even 8% at the moment, but something that might require a lot of maintenance. So an issue that I see a lot of people make, a mistake that I see a lot of people make out there is they'll go and they'll buy a unit block at that sort of yield. And the issue is there's multiple things that can go wrong with a property like that. So especially if you've got, say, a 3, 4, 5 pack, you've got multiple things that can go wrong, like multiple ovens, dishwashers, bloody air conditioning units, hot water systems, all these different things on a multi-level property. So they can be great from a net yield perspective because you do have those multiple income streams coming in at one time, but be very wary of an older block that looks like it's got a good gross yield. Also, they may have secured things, like pumped them up, secured shitty tenants just to get a higher yield to make it look better. And then everything's, you know, average on the property as well. I have seen people make that mistake before and it can really decimate their yield and their actual net cash flow when they have to go through and pay for that maintenance year on year as well. So just be very sure you're not picking up a dud or someone else's issue or mistake on that end as well. One other thing on that too, be very careful and know your numbers intimately when you're talking regionally as well, because quite often your regional unit blocks, I have seen some astronomical rates to hold those things over the years as well. So you think they're looking good from that net cash flow perspective, but run your numbers properly and accurately from insurances to council rates, everything in between. You want to make sure you're running it properly. I'm not kidding, guys. I've seen things before like 6 to 8 packs with like $15,000 to $20,000 worth of council rates on them before, which is nuts. So be very, very careful and very aware of that because it can really smash your net yield if you're not aware of it, and especially if it's a lower end product as well. Bite number four, renovating for yield. This can be a super powerful strategy and something that almost anyone can do. So if you're starting out, you know, if you're out there doing your first deal, you know, you might be able to go out there and do some sweat equity, go buy something that's a bit clapped out, literally sweat equity, paints, floors, itch, even updating a kitchen or a bathroom without actually doing full freight, you know, everything on it yourself. Bit of a case study of my own here from back in the day, back when I redid Wollongong, my little 2-bedroom unit, I repainted, refloored the whole thing. I fitted out the kitchen, you know, I just literally repainted it with high gloss enamel, put new door handles on it, all these sorts of things to the bathroom as well. It made it look like a brand new property from doing that. And I was actually able to put a new dishwasher and cooktop. I think I did the whole thing for about $4,500. The most thing was time, sweat equity to put into it as well. So it can be something that anyone can tackle. If you're not going to do it yourself, there's even still, most people can still do it on a budget. If you've got the right team behind you, you can still normally do like a full repaint, refloor of a house for like sub 10 grand, even like some maintenance things to fix it up as well. It can be really good little things to do, value boost. If you take it one step further, you can look at some really big renovations. If you listen to the full length that with Jimmy as well, we ran through one of his that was an $80,000 renovation. We almost doubled the rent. I think it was about $360,000, $380,000, something like that. And we bumped it up to the high 600s with an $80,000 renovation. If you want to go back through and listen to that, you can hear the way that was done as well. But renovating for yield can be a super strong cash flow play, as well as obviously equity boost as well. But it can be a great strategy. You also, in times like this with high interest rates, you can look into what you could potentially go back and do within your own portfolio right now. I know I'm doing that personally within my portfolio, going back through, executing on some of the renovation strategies that have been sitting dormant in my portfolio. Bite number five, secondary dwellings or granny flats. They're a great strategy. You know, I've done many of these deals myself. Essentially, like a lot of the time, you know, you might be giving the front house a facelift or an extensive renovation like we just spoke about, but you might build then a brand new dwelling, a brand new, you know, flat out the back, which for one means lower maintenance costs and whatnot on that property. You normally get a really high yield on that actual investment as well from the granny perspective. And you get depreciation on it too as a bonus. So I've always found within my own portfolio and what I've been able to help a lot of clients execute as well, you've got an excellent like net yielding property, very low headache as well. So you don't have the same issues like a lot of other deals can potentially give you, but you've got that ability to layer the multiple strategies on top of each other. And it's very, very strong. And obviously, yeah, I mean, guys, this is one of my favorite deals done. If you do it in the right market, you can see exceptional returns right across the board. Now, bonus bite on these guys as well. These are obviously all residential strategies, right? Residential style strategies. Now, if you time the cycle correctly and you buy these in the right locations at the right time and obviously at the right price, you'll also see crazy value and a crazy rental uplift in those markets as well. So, you know, over the last few years, a lot of the times we've been doing these deals. I think we gave an example again of one of Jimmy's deals. We executed the thing for about $490,000. About 3 years ago, 3 years ago, that deal would now be worth over 800 grand. So not only is he sitting on that deal, he's sitting at over an 11% yield. He also saw over $300,000 worth of capital growth. We have literally posted those returns across the board on many, many different deals. They are a great strategy. And all these residential properties, the great thing about, you know, going residential for manufactured cash flow is you can have that exposure to the residential growth as well if you buy into the right market. And if you're chasing yield, a lot of the time you should be going into the right market. It's at a low point, rents are nice and high, perfect time to be entering for that strategy as well. Bite number six, commercial. Commercial, guys, it is a great asset class if you get it right. For me though, personally, the way I view it is a back-end play. It's very capital intensive. They are a risky investment. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. But for me, there's too much risk involved doing them early. The vacancies is the big one, right? So if commercial is your pure source of cash flow, and let's say you have two or three deals in there that get you to 150,000, 200,000, that is a lot of exposure for two to three properties, even four properties. That's a lot of exposure for a very high portion of your income from those deals to come from that. So for me, I like it at the back end play. I like to build out, let's say, you know, you want 150 grand to retire or to replace income. That's income replacement. That's living the current life you're living now in a good life, right? Let's say it's 150, but you want 200 because you want the extra 50 grand for lifestyle. I would look at the back end play, the back end 50K as the lifestyle play build that out through commercial. So if it's going good, great, you're winning. And they are a great strategy when you get them right. But when things go wrong, which they do at some point, the economy falters, different things happen, vacancies blow out, it's not going to, you know, put you guys on the street, or it's not going to make you have to go back to work because you've built that base out in residential, which is dependable. And it's, you know, something you can really, really rely on from that sense. For anyone as well who says it isn't a low risk strategy, tell me why the banks demand a higher deposit. They'll only offer a lower LVR. Their interest rates are higher and they always charge a risk fee. A lot of the time you don't see any of that on resi. So you can get all the way up to 90% with resi. A lot of time commercial, you're at 70 or 80. So you're needing to chip in a lot more capital. It's also a lot of the time harder to get your capital back out. They will charge you a higher interest rate and they will charge you a risk fee. So to recap, guys, just on the commercial and from the residential sector, the commercial, it is great when you get them right. But for me, it should be the back end play, really that lifestyle cash flow, right? The back end sort of amount that you'll need. But the initial cash flow, that which will fund your life and your income replacement, should be built out in solid, strategic, reliable residential cash flow plays. Sound good? That's it, listeners. Another wrap for another Shark Bites ep this week. Thank you once again for tuning in. I hope you took some great value from it. If you did, guys, you took some good value from it, you think there's someone out there that might take value from this, maybe someone that's got a lot of equity in their portfolio, they might be running a bit average right now on cash flows at current interest rates, please send it on. Anyone you think could take some value out of this episode, we're looking to obviously build your inner circle of people who think the same way and obviously build this community of everyone that's thinking in the like-minded way of really trying to succeed in property as well. So if you could send it on, please, that'd be massively appreciated. And until next week, legends, that's another episode of Shark Bites on the Scouting Australia podcast.